With me, go to Genesis 12 and Genesis 12, chapter 1. Chapter 12, verse 1, I should say. And stand with me, amen. Genesis 12, verse 1. And again, same outline from this morning, but we're going to plug in two different people. And I want you to see a few things there. And I'm going to get you to think about some things as well as we talk about these people, because there is a marked difference in some things that are going to happen with the folks that we're going to look at here. Amen. And Genesis chapter 12. Everybody found Genesis okay? I hope so. Amen. All right. We're going to read verse 1 through 7. We're going to read responsively. I'm going to read verse number 1, and you read 2 with me. And so you'll be reading the even verses with me, and I'll be reading the odd verses starting in verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Father, as we look at two additional characters tonight, Lord, from the same outline, help us to glean a blessing and, Lord, just some thoughts as to what it might have been like back in those days when we were called, if we'd have been called back in those times with, Lord, not a lot of biblical revelation, with not a lot of biblical things written down and passed down, Lord, except for by word of mouth. And Lord, I pray that we might use our minds and our thinking. The Holy Spirit may press upon us some truths, some things that are pertinent for us to learn and to contemplate as we too look at being called by Almighty God to do some extraordinary things, even though we're ordinary people. Thank you for loving us, Lord. I pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us to understand that we must respond to the call and recognize the call of God in our lives. Thank you for bringing Sally back with us tonight. And Lord, thank you for the rest of us that are here to learn, to glean. Lord, help us to leave differently than when we came in, a little bit more knowledgeable about you, your plan, Lord, and your pleasure in using ordinary people to do extraordinary things through your divine power and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. This morning we looked at the call of God that must be recognized, and we saw that that call is going to be recognized amongst places, and we saw that he was in his country, amongst people. We saw that it was from his kindred, and then possibilities, getting away from what we think as opposed to what God knows. And as we talked about that, then we talked about the conduct must be real. When we step out, we've got to launch out without looking back and recognize that God does want us to step out by faith and trust him that he knows what he's doing. Amen. Oftentimes you hear the word of God and the will of God, and you still get tentative. Amen. I don't know about you, but I still haven't gotten past that point where I can boldly knock on every door on door knocking. Would to God I could. And I know that God has told me to do that, but I just don't know what's on the other side. And that fear of the unknown sometimes made me get a little squeamish. And what if they punch me in the nose? What if they open up the door and say, Sikkim Fido? You know, I'm like, well, you know, Lord, I'm not really excited about that part. You know, I want God to say, well, every door that you knock on, they're going to say, yes, I want to get saved. What must I do to be saved? That didn't even happen to Paul. And you get a little tentative, even though you know what God says. Can somebody say amen? It happens. And so we got to launch out without looking back. And then we saw our company must be reckoned with. We got to let people know, look, there's going to be some choices that we're going to have to make. There's going to be some challenges along the road. And there may be some changes up ahead when we follow God. Amen. It's not going to be the way we think. Amen. It just is not going to be. Amen. We talked about changes. Directions may change. Dwellings may change. Duties may change. We talked about challenges. I may have to go without luxury, without looking. I may have to go with less. And so those things are there. Choices. I'm going to have to say yes to God, which means no to the world. It's going to happen. But we did see this. Our commitment will be rewarded. Abraham's family was multiplied. He became the father of many nations. He's called the father of faith. His faith was multiplied and his finances also were multiplied. We may not get those same results, but God does promise to bless. Amen. So tonight we're going to look at two additional characters and put them into the same framework. And I want us to see a few things here. And I want you to think really hard about some things that we're going to talk about tonight with these two characters that we're going to talk about. These two characters are Adam and Noah. Adam and Noah. So earlier we said this, we're going to be used of God for extraordinary things. We'll need to recognize when he is calling us. A few more examples in Genesis of those recognizing God's call for the extraordinary, but they too had some things to overcome. The call of God must be recognized as the first point once again. I want you to notice Adam's call. Go over to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, Adam's call. Of course, when God called Abraham, what did Abraham do? Abraham heard, Abraham went. Genesis chapter 3, and of course, Adam has already eaten of the fruit. He knows he's not the same as he used to be. Notice verse number 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? The call of God must be recognized. Notice what happens here. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Let me ask you a question. How many remember the first time you sinned? The first time you sinned. None of us remember that time. You know why? We were so small. Adam has fallen into sin as a grown, knowing, thinking adult. You and I can't remember the first time we sinned. This is the first time Adam has been in this predicament as a grown adult. He's intelligent. He thinks, he knows, he feels, he understands. He knows he did wrong. Most of us don't remember the first time we did wrong. Actually, when was the first time your mother popped you for doing wrong? Most of us don't remember. Most of us don't remember half the poppings we got so many, amen? Anything like me. Remember some of those severe poppings that I got, amen? But here we find Adam. With this call, the call of God must be recognized, and it comes to him, where art thou? And Adam says, I was afraid. And so the first thing I want us to talk about here, Adam's call, when I say the call of God must be recognized, Adam's call came at a time when he needed to be forgiven. He needed to be restored. And there's going to come a time in your life and my life when the call of God is going to come, and we're going to need to be forgiven, and we're going to need to come clean. We're just going to have to come clean. We're going to have to say, Lord, I messed up. Adam here is afraid. He'd never been in this position before. He's always been in a right relationship with God. It's always been sweet. It's always been pleasant. It's always been pleasurable. And now he's come to this point where he has partaken of the fruit. He's done that which he shouldn't have done. As a grown adult, he knows better. And there's a time that he needs to be forgiven. And the call comes. Isn't God so gracious to forgive us, to call us to forgiveness? God doesn't say, come seeking for me. God went seeking for Adam. And he says, wait a minute, Adam, you're always here. Where you at? What'd Adam say? Well, I was afraid. Well, Adam, you've never been afraid before. What happened? What's the difference maker? Did you possibly take of that tree? No, I didn't, but that woman you gave me did. Shifting the blame. So the call of God must be recognized. At a time when we will need to be forgiven. And so when you look at this call of God, there may be a time in your life and my life when we're going to need to be forgiven and we're going to need to recognize that call. And you may be like Adam. Chances are you probably will be. You know better. You know what God says. You know what God thinks. You have the understanding. It's not like we were babies. Amen. Adam was a grown adult. Can you imagine how afraid he must have felt? This is the first time he separated from God. He's got Eve, but she's in the same predicament he's in. They're both sinners. And so the call of God must be recognized at times when we will need to be forgiven. Let me show you the exact opposite. Genesis chapter 6, Noah. Notice Noah's call here. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now, he's a son, a descendant of Adam, believe it or not. Notice verses 13 and 14. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Notice God didn't say, make me. What did he say? Make thee. He said, you're going to need this. Make thee an ark. We think of it, well, God has said, make me an ark. God didn't say, make me. God said, make thee. God ain't drowning. And God don't need to swim. He said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Why do we think that anyway? God said, make me an ark of gopher wood. Because thee sounds like me. He says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou pitch in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And then come down to verse 22. What are those first three words? Thus did Noah. Do you find I was afraid, so I hid myself? Do you find anyway, well, Lord, who's going to help me? Thus did Noah, according to what? All that God commanded him, so did what? He. Notice 7:1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the what? The ark. Why? It was made for thee. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And so the call of God must be recognized sometimes, like Adam's call, at a time we're going to be needing forgiven. Other times, in Noah's situation, when we'll need to be the forerunner, we'll need to be the one to get it all started. No one has ever built an ark up until this point. No one has ever needed an ark up to this point. God may call you to be the forerunner to do something that no one has ever did. And people may mock you, may make fun of you and say, why in the world are you doing that? And you're going to say, God told me to do it. God told me to do it. Now, I've heard some people say that before, and I can't say that God told them to do it, but I can tell you this, they believe God told them to do it. Noah here is about to be the laughingstock of all of creation because he's building an ark saying rain is coming, and it has not rained. A flood is coming, and it has not flooded, and I'm going to get in it with my family. Can you imagine the ridicule that he got prior to that time? But can you imagine who had the last laugh when he went into the ark? Amen. What am I saying? The call of God must be recognized. Sometimes we'll need to be forgiven. Other times we'll need to be the forerunner. The question is, either one, forgiven or forerunner, will we respond? Will we respond? Adam pretty much had to be conned or coaxed into doing what he needed to do. Noah just outright did it. Just outright did it. Show you the second point here in the same outline. Our conduct must be real. Our conduct must be real. Adam had to step out to leave fear. Go back to Genesis 3. Adam had to step out to leave fear. Notice what it says down there in verse 8 again. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That I still can't figure that one out. How can you hear the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day? I can never figure that one out. I'm not going to try. Amen. But the Bible says the voice of the Lord was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Amen. So praise God for it. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And then back to verse 10 again. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. What am I saying? Adam had to step out to leave fear. Up to this point, had Adam known fear? No, what's fear? What did he have to be afraid of? The lions and the tigers and the bears? Chicago Bears, maybe. No. He had, sorry, brother. Couldn't be afraid of no Green Packers. I'm sorry. Huh? But what was there to be afraid of? There was nothing to be afraid of. But can you imagine a child being at an airport or a large store and being separated from their parent for the very first time? Fear grips the soul of that child. unless they're clueless like I was when I was hiding from my mother. And I didn't know that, you know, I was about to be lost. But a child that doesn't know where their parents are, they're frightened. Our conduct must be real. Adam had to step out to leave fear. Even though he was fearful, he still needed to step out to get this thing reconciled. By the way, this is the first time he's a sinner. Very first time. What does it feel like to be a first-time sinner? We grow up knowing we're sinners. Amen. We grow up knowing we're wrong. Adam, this is the very first time as an intelligent being that he knows he's a sinner. Can you imagine that? For the very first time, I'm a sinner. Wow. What did I do? He's afraid. This is the first time he's a sinner. This is the first time he's been separated from God since he's been created. This has never happened before. This is the first time he's been seen by God in sin. And the obvious question is, what will God do to me? The children, I know you've done some things before. You messed up. Mom and daddy's about to lay down the law. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? What will they do to me? How severe is this going to be? Now, what did God already tell him was going to happen if he did? He's going to die. Does Adam know what death looks like? Aren't you afraid of things that you don't see? How many of y'all enjoy somebody blindfolding you and taking you around? How many just walk out like this? No, you don't walk like you're like. Adam's afraid. So his conduct must be real. He's got to step out and he's got to leave this fear knowing what the consequences could be. And he knows not what those consequences are because he's never seen it. That's some faith in spite of fear. In spite of fear. But he had to step out. By the way, don't you love the way God just led him along? And God helped him out. Amen. Noah, on the other hand, had to step out and step away, leaving family and friends. Amen. Everything that Noah knows is about to change. Go back over to chapter number 6. Everything that he knows is about to change. Notice what it says down there in verse number, 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of how much flesh? All flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence, and through them, and behold, I will what? Destroy them. What is them? All the flesh of the earth. So Noah had to step away and leave family and friends. This is the first time that everything is going to be destroyed. Noah doesn't know what that's going to be like. Think about it. If God told you everything's going to be destroyed except you and your family, he's never experienced this before. Everything is going to be lost. And then he said this, only you, your wife, your three sons, and their daughters are going to be saved. All is going to be lost, and only these eight people are going to be left in the whole wide world. Can you imagine that? I can't. What am I saying here? Our conduct must be real. Noah had to step away knowing that when I get in this ark, when I come off, it's not going to be the same. Everybody that I know and love besides my family is going to be gone. Adam had to say, you know what? I've never seen sin. I've never seen fear. I've never seen death. What's God going to do to us, Eve? I know. Let's hide. What are you going to hide from God? And so when you look at this call must be recognized and this conduct must be real, we find out that we've got to ask ourselves the question, will we go? Will we do what God tells us when we don't know what's going to happen on the other side of that door? Noah had no clue what was going to happen once that door closed besides what God said. Besides what God said. And God said, I'm going to flood them. When they went outside this ark, nobody would be left except the animals on that ark and the animals in the sea. What am I saying here? Once the call is recognized from an extraordinary God to ordinary people, what will we do? What will we do? We see what Adam did. We see what Noah did. Our conduct must be real. Adam had to step out to leave fear. Noah had to step away, leaving family and friends, not knowing what it was going to be like after everything was all over. By the way, when you look at Adam and what Adam did, how did God feel when Adam sinned? Of course, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient. You think God was disappointed? I think he probably was a little bit, but being omniscient, he knew. That's why he had provisions already made up for Adam and Eve. And knowing that he's omniscient, he already knew how they was going to respond. That's why he said, "Where you at?" He said, "I hid myself." Why? Did you eat of that tree? Have you ever done that to your kids? You knew what they did, and you caught them on the carpet, and you asked them why they did it. Well, you know, and they really can't come up with a good one. Let's go to number three. Call of God must be recognized, as it was with Adam and Noah. The conduct must be real. We've got to step out and leave fear sometimes. We've got to step away and leave family and friends sometimes, not knowing what to expect. But then number three, our company must be reckoned with. Our company must be reckoned with. I'm going to get you to put your thinking caps on with this one. Our company must be reckoned with. We talked about Lot this morning and Sarai this morning and family, how they had to all be informed about the choices and the challenges and changes that may be up front. But with Adam and Eve, what was the possible discussion as they're about to leave the garden? Think about it. All they know is back here in the garden. Now they're about to exit out of the garden. What do you think the discussion was as they were leaving? What did they have to reckon with? Where to go? What else did they have to reckon with? What to do? What else they had to reckon with? Leaving the garden. What was the discussion between Adam and Eve?
How to survive.
How to survive, how to eat. Everything was easy up until this point. Now God's already laid down the law. It's going to be tough. Eve, you're going to struggle with childbirth. Adam, you're going to struggle when it comes to making a living. Hallelujah. What was the discussion? What did they talk about? Because when you look at this, our company must be reckoned with. As they're leaving this garden, something had to be discussed. Did they know what was outside the garden? We don't know. But we do know this. They're not going back in it. And so try as much as they want to, they're not going back. What was the discussion like, maybe? I wonder what's out here. I wonder if that serpent is out here. Why did I eat that fruit? Is that serpent going to attack us again as we go out this way, or did God deal with him in there? What do you think? What was the discussion between Adam and Eve? Because they had to reckon with each other. Is it going to be safe out here? Maybe Eve said, "I'll never eat another thing off a tree in my life. I'll listen to you forever, Adam." No, we know that ain't true. What was the discussion? Have you ever been to, your children and they don't know what's outside of an area and, you tell them something that's outside there, but they really don't know. I remember when we were kids, we watched this one scary movie and it was about something being behind the door. And every time I didn't want my sister to do something, I'd say, "Beyond the door." And I would go towards the door. She said, "No, no, don't open the door, no." I said, "All right, you better do right." And she messed up again. I said, "All right, beyond the door." No, I'll do it. I said, "All right." And I got her with that for the longest. Till one day, I don't know what happened. She opened up the door. "Ain't nothing back there. You've been telling me this lie all this time." I said, "Well, it worked." It's like, beyond the door. I said, "The boogeyman's back there. And he's going to get you. As soon as you open the door, he's going to get you." And boy, she didn't want me to go open that door, beyond the door. What happened? She didn't know what was back there. What was the possible discussion? What's outside the garden? What's it going to be like out there? What are the conditions going to be like? Will there be still fruit out there? Will God still love us out there? Did God tell them that he didn't love them anymore? No, he never told them that. Did he say, "I'm not going to be with you anymore"? No, he just said, "You can't stay in here no more." But he never said, "I'm not going to be with you." He never said, "I don't love you." He never said, "You bad, wicked people, you." He just said, "Well, this is the punishment. I told you it was going to happen. Just kind of matter of fact, it's going to be like this, Eve. It's going to be like this, Adam. It's going to be like that, serpent. all right, you got to go, go. And they went. But God never told them, I don't love you. So they had no reason to doubt God's love. Yes. They had to work out something, amen. They had to come to that point where they say, hey, does God really love us? Now, had he already forgiven them? Yes, he clothed them with the animal skin, took away their fig leaves, so he had already clothed them. And so he already sent them out. But they had to reckon with each other because there was nobody else to reckon with. They were the company. Adam had to look at Eve and say, well, you know, it's me and you, sister. We got to go. And she probably had to look at him. Adam, I'm sorry I got us into this predicament. But if you'd have been much of a man and stood up to me, amen. And you should have stood up to me and said, no, I'm not going to eat that fruit. Then you'd have been alone by yourself. You know what I'm saying? And there is the first argument. Amen. Say, so you gave me that fruit, amen.
Yeah, I gave him a different one.
That's it. God, can you create me a new one? She didn't win, defiled herself, amen. Amen. So that is something that we really have to reckon with when God calls us. What's going to happen afterwards? Same thing with Noah and his family. Noah and his family go into the ark. And notice here in chapter 7 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Then come to chapter 8, number 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind pass over the earth, and the waters assaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters abated, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And of course, you know, Noah put forth the dove and the raven, and they didn't come back. And then come down there to chapter 8 and verse 16. And verse 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the what? Ark, thou and who? Thy wife and who? Thy sons and who? Thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee what? Every living thing that is with thee of all flesh. And he tells you who it is. Verse 18, and Noah went forth and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them. Here is my question. Just like Adam and Eve had to reckon with themselves, the company had to be reckoned with. What is Noah and his wife talking about? What is Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, talking about as they leave this ark? What were they talking about when they boarded the ark? What were the possible conversations? Dad, you mean to tell me we're going to leave Aunt Susie? Dad, you mean to tell me we're going to leave Uncle John? Dad, you mean to tell me we're going to leave Cousin Frank over there, and we're going to leave Cousin Betty over there? Dad, we're going to get on this ark and we're going to leave them? And guess what Noah will have to say? Son, if they're not for us, they're against us. If they're not with God, then they can't get on the ark. God has already told me, son, that this is what we've got to do. But Dad, they're going to die. They're going to drown. The discussions that they possibly would have to make. What am I saying? Got to reckon with the company. Because we're going to get on this ark. When we get off this ark, there's not going to be anybody left. I got to make new friends now. Who am I going to marry? Well, they were already married, so they got to start their own families again. Amen. The possible discussions, boarding and leaving the ark. What do you think might have been the possible discussions, boarding and or leaving the ark with Noah's wife, Noah's children? What's some possible discussions that might have came up? Joshua? What kind of food are we going to be able to eat when we get off? Amen. And what we're going to eat while we're on it. Amen. Now, the Bible does talk about they bought some stuff on there. Amen. Go fishing. Amen. That's right. You know, go fishing. Amen. What are possible discussions, Joshua? How long are we going to be in this ark? Because God didn't tell you how long he's going to be in there. Amen. Yes. Where's our home going to be when we get out? What else? What language are we going to speak? Now, I don't think that's an issue. How about this one? Is God mad at us? No, God wasn't mad at them. he was kind of perturbed with all the rest of the sinful folks there. Amen. Will God still bless us? What will God do for us? Will God be with us? What were some of the possible discussions leaving the ark as well as boarding the ark? What did Shem have to say about it? What did Ham have to say about it? What did Japheth have to say about it? What did their wives have to say? Who are my kids going to play with? Where are the toys and the Legos going to be at? Where's Toys R Us? Out of business. Amen. Where's QT? Where's Best Buy? They're gone. Where are we going to shop at when we get out? Where's Walmart? Where's the 24-hour store? So what are we going to do? Everything is gone. Everybody that we bought from and that we sold from, they're all gone. There's nothing here. Noah, are you mad? What are we going to do? We get off this ark. We're going to look at each other crazy. Hey, we look at Noah. We think he had it easy. There's some choices he had to think about here. There's some things that Miss Noah had to think about here. There's some things Shem, Ham, and Japheth had to think about. Their wives had to think about. Going into this ark, yes, it was a no-brainer. But what happens after the ark? What do I do? Of course, we know quite a bit of what happened after they got off the ark. But the question you got to ask yourself, am I in when God tells me to do something? Do I have to reckon with the company, and am I in, or am I going to let my company keep me from doing what I know I ought to do? Because Noah had to go irregardless of if they went or not, if he wanted to live. Adam had to get right and reckon with Eve because he knew he couldn't stay in that garden. Things were going to be different now. They had to reckon with each other. And so when you look at these different things here involved with this, the call still has to be recognized. Adam had to be called, where art thou, in a time when he needed to be forgiven. Noah's call came at a time when he needed to be the forerunner and save his family and those with him. Our conduct must be real. Adam had to step out to leave fear. Why? He had never seen fear. He had never experienced sin. He had never experienced the situation where he and God weren't together. And now they are. Noah had to step away and leave family and friends. His conduct must be real. First time all would be lost. First time only 8 would be left. He had never seen this type of total destruction forever. What am I saying? God may call you to do something first that's never been seen before the way you need to do it. By the way, when I surrendered to preach, I had never seen that done. I'd heard about it, but I'd never experienced it myself. I had to ask the question, what's it going to be like for me? What's it going to be like for my family? What's it going to be like for my wife? What's it going to be like as we go down the road? What is all this about? I recognize the call. God's calling me. I understand that. My conduct is real. I know I want to step out here. But now as I get with my company and I reckon with my wife, honey, you in with this? Yes. Well, what can we expect? We don't have a clue. Where are we going to go? Don't know. As long as it's not New Jersey and as long as it's like Illinois, we're okay. Any place else is fair game, as long as it's not Wisconsin, Green Bay. I'll go get the cheese and I'll leave. Amen. And so our company's got to be reckoned with. Adam had to be reckoned with. Eve had to be reckoned with. Noah had to reckon with his family. Possible discussions. What do we do? Where do we go? How's life going to be? What's going to change? Folks, when God calls us, we've got to consider those things. Now, it shouldn't stop us from recognizing the call and stepping out. But we still should say, okay, Lord, I understand, and I'm going. Those with me, they understand. We're going. We don't know what's beyond the door. We don't know what's on the other side. We don't know what it's going to be like, but we're going. And then lastly, our commitment will be rewarded. Adam and Eve were cleansed and clothed. Go back to Genesis 3:21. Because they got past their fears, because they got past this point of where art thou? Genesis 3:21, it says down there, and unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. What happened? The shedding of blood had to be done. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Verse 20, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Of course, they got driven out of the garden, but they got clothes and they got cleansed. They received mercy. And so mercy was received. And then you come down to Noah and his family. They were saved. They were separated from the sinners, and they got a chance to start all over again. They received grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So mercy was received by Adam and Eve. Grace was given to Noah and his family. Our commitment will be rewarded somehow, some way. I don't understand it all. I don't understand it all. I know Noah found grace. I know Adam and Eve received mercy. They didn't get what they should have gotten. God never took his love away from them. He never took his compassion from them. Did he give them what they deserve? No, he really didn't. He could have struck them dead right there on the spot. He gave them 900 more years to live. Well, approximately, amen. Can you imagine that? After you sin, you get 900 more years to live. Now, we don't know how many years it was after that they were created, but we know how many years they live. Amen. But when you look at this, total difference from Abraham that we looked at this morning from these individuals tonight. Adam is on one end of the spectrum, whereas Noah's on another end of the spectrum, but both still had things that they really didn't understand. And they had questions that they had to sort out and ask themselves. And folks, in 2019, it's probably going to be the same for you and I. God's going to say, there's some things I want you to do. We've got to recognize that call. And when we recognize that call, we've got to say, okay, Lord, I am going to go ahead and step out. My conduct is going to be real. I'm going to embrace this thing. My company's going to have to be reckoned with. I got to talk to them and say, look, this is what's going to happen. I'm following God. This is what's going to happen. This is what we're going to do. And we're going to step out. We don't really understand what's behind the door. But I know this, God, if you're calling me through that door, it's for my good and for your glory. Amen. And I may not always have all the answers, but I do know this, somehow, some way, it's going to work out. And I believe that Adam, when he left out of the garden, said, you know, Eve, I don't know what's going to befall us, but somehow, some way, God's going to work it out. I believe Noah and his family, we got on that ark, we're obeying God. Somehow, some way, it's going to work out. We don't have all the answers right now, but it's going to work out. It's going to work out. Did it work out? Yes, it did. And we have the written account to show us that even though our call can be recognized and our conduct needs to be real, when we come down to reckoning with our company, if we commit to the Lord Jesus Christ, somehow, some way, God's going to work it out. Somehow, some way. Don't know how. Folks, sometimes I was kind of skittish at, Lord, how are we going to make it through 2019? But guess what? 2018. But guess what? Here we are in 2019. Here we are. What happened? Somehow, some way, God worked it out. We didn't die. We didn't give up the ghost. We didn't go under. God worked it out. I believe that God delights to use ordinary people for extraordinary purposes. And I believe he wants to use us. I mean, we're about as ordinary as they come. And if God can use them, he can use us. Amen. There's nothing unique about Noah. There's nothing unique about Abraham. The only thing unique about Adam is that he was created. Amen. But guess what? He was flesh and blood, just like you and I. And if God could use them, he can use us. Might there be some times of fear? Yes. Might there be times we're going to face some things that we quite don't understand? Yes. Are there going to be some firsts for us sometimes? It could be. It could be. First time all the earth was destroyed. First time only 8 people were left. First time Adam knew sin. First time he was separated from God. First time ever kicked out of the garden. First. And 2019 is going to be some first for you too. I believe there's going to be some first for me. But that doesn't mean that God's not there. Doesn't mean that we approach it with a sense of, well, God, can you? Because the answer is, yes, he can. God would never call us to do something that he couldn't fulfill through us. He didn't call any person in the scriptures to do anything that he couldn't fulfill through them. Did God lift one finger for that to build that ark? Not a finger. Why? He had Noah to build it. Amen. And guess what? Noah built it. And guess what? Noah got saved. And Noah's wife. And Noah's sons. And Noah's sons' wives. And guess what? We have the account to prove it. So whatever it is that God has for you to do in 2019, you don't have to worry about trying to have the extraordinary power to do it. That's God's job. You just have to be the ordinary person that God wants to work his extraordinary power through to see what God can do through you. You know, if Tamara were in here, I'd say, Tamara, were you nervous of trying to save that person? No, because we don't save anybody. We just open up the Word of God and say, this is what God says. And then God does the saving. I'm glad, Brother Neil, I don't have to save anybody. Because if I do, they still be lost. Amen. I can't save anybody. But I can open up this extraordinary book and give them the extraordinary Word of God and let the extraordinary Holy Spirit come upon them and convict them and convince them and convert them. And extraordinarily, God saves souls. And that's how the world is won, one person at a time. Amen. Hey, folks, God wants to use us this year. I'm convinced of that. And we just have to make sure that we go beyond the fears, we go beyond the friends, we go beyond the fan, we go beyond that and embrace what God wants us to do and say, God, if you said it, that settles it. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, I do pray that each one of us here will contemplate and, Lord, just see what you want to do in our lives. Lord, there must have been so many unanswered questions in the life of Adam, so many unanswered questions in the life of Noah. Lord, amidst the fears, they had to step out. Noah had to step away from family and friends that would later be destroyed. They had to reckon with themselves. Adam and Eve had to have a discussion. What's it going to be like going outside the garden? What's it going to be like now that we are sinners? Noah and his family had to do the same thing. What's it going to be like without having anyone else on the planet except us, eight people? No friends, no relatives, just us. They had some questions, I'm sure, some discussions, but Lord, they still obeyed you. Noah, his family were saved, separated, and started over. Grace was given to them. Adam and Eve were cleansed and clothed. Mercy was received by them. Lord, we've got to recognize the call. We've got to have some real conduct going forward and reckon with our company and see the commitment rewarded down the line. Lord, there are many things that you might have us step out and do here in 2019 and help us, Lord, to do that, which you would have us to do, and to step out by faith. Lord, I pray each one of us is asking, what extraordinary things can God do through me, an ordinary person? And we might be able to look back and see what you've done with us. Maybe it's leading a soul to Christ. Maybe it's a ministry. Maybe it's some forgiveness we need to give. Maybe it's a ministry that we need to perform. Maybe it's a sum of money we need to give. Lord, whatever it may be, help us to recognize as we look at ordinary people each week, allow you to speak to our hearts and see what extraordinary things you want to do through us. Lord, use me. Use us to fulfill your will the same way you did many, many biblical characters time and time again. And help each Shining Light Baptist Church member to see what is it that I can be used for to glorify my God in heaven with his extraordinary power being used through my ordinary life. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Dismiss us with your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.